This is Allison Bailey, Chair of the Cardiovascular Management Section Leadership Council at the American College of Cardiology. The Cardiovascular Management Section is very pleased to host this podcast series, Practice Made Perfect, which will focus on non-clinical competencies related to leadership skills, professional identity, operational skills, and personal balance. We hope you'll join us every other week as we learn from experts in the field who will remind us that practice really does make perfect. Welcome back. We are joining Dr. Sandy Lewis, Thad Waits, Sam Jones, and myself, Allison Bailey, as we discuss the importance of advocacy in all the ways the college and you, the cardiovascular care team, have been involved over the pandemic. What sort of things have been happening during the pandemic that the hack has played a role in? Could you give us that as an example in the world of medicine?
Yeah, you bet. I think that really we feel like we've been involved in nearly every aspect. As you mentioned, the ACC staff, they're just incredible. And I think they've been working 23 hours of nearly every day since we've been in this public health emergency. I really think we've been involved in patient care, protecting the healthcare worker, and ensuring financial stability. First and foremost, we always think the patient has to take center stage of everything that we think of. For the patient, three areas I think of. One has been telehealth. That's been a definite need. And a lot of what we've been working on has been making sure that telehealth has been able to continue so that we can take care of patients. We've been sending a lot of communication about having reliable and non-discriminatory testing because we felt that that has been adequate. And also, we're keeping a close eye on disparities in care. We know that the pandemic has definitely shed light on disparities in a way that has been very eye-opening for a lot of us. And there is a lot of things that need to be watched, even with telehealth itself. Is that going to help some of these disparities, or is it a possibility that could even widen the gap if not done correctly? So that is the things we watch about for patients, but also our healthcare providers are the things that we're focusing on as well, because a lot of times I think the healthcare provider starts wondering, well, who's looking out for us? And we have to advocate for that, whether that's a lack of PPE and supplies, whether it's a liability issue. We know that that is a huge issue that a lot of our members were very concerned about because they were being outsourced to other areas that are really outside their normal day-to-day activities. And not only are they working in other areas that they're not used to, but sometimes that's with areas that are understaffed and under-resourced. And so really you're starting to develop a perfect storm for liability issues, and we don't want to see them being on the hook for this, whether it's months down the line. Administrative burden has always been an issue, but especially during a pandemic, when many of our practices had to lay off staff, we knew that this was going to be an ongoing issue. So we had to really ask CMS, how can you lessen that? We want to get our prior authorizations reduced. And so that's something that we've been working with Medicare Advantage plans and certainly with private payers as well. And then, of course, it's just the financial sustainability of all our practices. And if you look at the CARES Act or the Provider Relief Fund, I think this is something that has been a stopgap for a lot of our practices and health systems to get them through. But we know it doesn't end really at the public health emergency. We're going to have to continue to look at that. Again, going back to the telehealth, though, without some of those relaxing of the flexibilities, I don't think we could have gotten through this. People wonder, why haven't we done this before? We probably should have, but without being able to get the geographic restrictions lifted, without being able to have non-HIPAA compliant devices being used, and certainly without getting the reimbursements to something that we could actually use, this never would have happened. That was true with just video, but also audio only. And so we worked very, very hard to get parity of payment for audio. So I think all of these things, you can see that advocacy was probably involved in nearly every aspect of this, or we feel like, over the last several months.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really great summary, Sam. And, you know, and what community really needed telehealth more than our cardiovascular patients who were at the highest risk from this? So I think that's wonderful. And I'm so proud to be part of the ACC during this. So I'm glad you clarified to me that the hack helps determine our priority points as far as our policy and where we focus our energy. But then how does this message get disseminated out to our members, Thad, once the hack has determined those points?
Right. Well, just a little bit of background of how we get to those points. First of all, it's something that's more or less on our mind all through the year is what our priority is going to be the next year. We have a retreat every summer. This year it was on Zoom, of course, but we have a retreat where one of the things we do is start discussing the priorities. So it's an ongoing iterative process of getting to that. When we do finally have the established priorities for the next year, then it has to go to the Board of Trustees. And so Sam will be taking that to the Board of Trustees this year. And if the Board of Trustees approves it, then it gets sent out to the world by our wonderful communications team. I know that at least the last 2 years, it's been part of the Cardiology magazine that comes out monthly. And I suspect it will be in the future too, but it goes through email. It goes through our advocacy email that is a weekly thing that goes out to all members. So we try to spread it in a wide swath to everyone once those priorities are established.
And then Sandy, once those priorities are established and the message starts getting disseminated to our members, how does the Heart Pack step in to further, I guess, amplify this message?
We are kind of joined at the hip. Sam actually sits on the executive committee of the Heart Pack, and I sit ex officio on the hack. And I just want to say it has just been astoundingly amazing to watch the hack this year. I can't tell you how many times we get a message and they've just been immediately taken up and distributed and answered in very thoughtful ways that have really made a difference to our colleagues and to our patients. As we work together, when the hack comes up with their priorities, we work with them to figure out how best to take this message to our legislative conference, but also in our day-to-day messaging with our legislators, those who are most involved with some of the legislative issues. And health affairs also reaches beyond just the legislative arm of it, but maybe with Medicare and the NIH and with health insurers. So the reach is broad, the communication is wide.
Well, I think that's really great. And that's one of the parts that makes me so proud to be a member of the ACC is really the teamwork that we seem to accomplish on all of these topics, not only patient care, but, you know, making our mission go forward. So I'm going to finish up by asking each of you, how does someone who has an interest in being more involved in advocacy and advocating for our cardiovascular patients and improving health around the world get more involved? Sam, I'll ask you to start us off.
Well, that's a great question, Allison. I think that, as I said before, we all want the system to be better. And people wonder, well, how can I do that? I think it starts off with just paying attention to what's going on. And all healthcare is local. So I really always advise people to start off at the local level, start off with a hospital and getting involved there, because there's a lot that can be done at the hospital level and even in the health system level. For many of us who are employed physicians, there's a lot that can be done there. Specifically within your medical societies or your subspecialty organizations. And I would say within our college, we have a tremendous ability to do that within our state chapters. And the great state of Tennessee, as you know, as our governor, we have a lot that we can do on the state chapter level. And each state chapter is developed so that there's an advocacy arm there, as well as a lot that can be done. So I would say going to the state chapters, and then obviously on the federal level as well, getting involved in their legislative conference, which I'll put another plug in for, which is going to be in the first week of October. And just finding out who your lawmakers are, write to them, call them, ask them, can you come visit them? If it's not in the middle of a pandemic, that's a great idea. Having them come to your own practice is a great idea if it is an appropriate time to do that. So just getting engaged, I think the lawmakers want to hear from us because they know that we have a lot to offer. I think that there are so many different things that we can do. We're blessed to do it, and we really can make a difference.
I think that's great advice, Sam. And I'm just going to touch on one thing that you said really quickly, the legislative conference. The college hosts a legislative conference every year, and this year it's going to be virtual. So I would just put a plug out there for anyone who's thought about becoming involved in the past but couldn't get the time away from work to maybe consider this virtual conference this year. Maybe a great way to get your toes wet into advocacy. Sandy, what's your advice?
So there are a lot of advocates in the college, and basically you are the local cardiovascular experts. Your state chapter and your state medical society have active advocacy teams. Some state ACC chapters actually have their own lobbyist or a portion of a lobbyist, and those lobbyists keep their ears to the ground on issues impacting the chapter on a local level. If you're a smaller state, engagement with your state medical society advocacy will highlight opportunities. Sometimes we don't always agree with all of their priorities, but there's a lot of room for working together. Your states will have legislative days at your state capitol. Go to these. Get to know your local representatives. It turns out that to support someone locally is an incredible opportunity to get to know somebody who's going to be moving up in, probably in state government, may eventually become a representative or senator. And if you get in on this grassroots support, you'll have a friend for life. If there are physicians in the state legislature, they are hungry to speak medicine and can be great allies. So even if they're not in your district, reach out to them. Let them know that you appreciate the combination of understanding our patient care as well as being in the legislature. And back to the staff, our amazing ACC staff. ACC has an incredible grassroots staff, which will help you to negotiate landmines, everything from state legislative issues to insurance and payment issues. Just raise your hand.
Great insight there, Sandy. And you know, one of the things I've really appreciated over the last few years is those advocacy alerts that come up, and it takes less than 1 minute to click on the button. And I can send a message to, you know, my legislators about things that are important to me and my patients here in the state and nationally. So I think that's just phenomenal. And I know you've been involved with that as a Sam and Thad and getting some of that together. Well, last but certainly not least, Thad, what do you have to add about someone who may be interested in getting more involved in advocacy with the college?
Well, I think Sam and Sandy have done a very good job of covering the waterfront, but I will add the following. We mentioned legislative conference. So I've been chair of that for 3 years, and the most often asked question that I get from all the members, and especially the FITs that are there, is how can I get involved? And what I always tell them is not only the things they hear about through legislative, but also our nominating process for committees. So we have lots and lots of committees within the ACC and within the sections, and many of them do have advocacy arms to them. So I encourage all the young members and any member to consider being on one of the ACC committees and be sure to apply for that when the nominating process starts at the end of the year.
Wonderful. And again, more good advice. And, you know, all of us have a professional home that we associate with or that we should, that represents our values and our values in healthcare and our hopes and aspirations for what can happen for our patients. And so, you know, I hope some of you consider the American College of Cardiology as your professional home. So I'd like to thank you all again for joining the show. This is such an important area for healthcare professionals to become involved in, and I'm glad we've been able to highlight just a tiny bit of the great work that's occurring in the college, on the Health Affairs Committee, as well as with the Heart Pack. Sandy, Thad, and Sam, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Allison.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This is Allison Bailey, and thanks for joining us today. Please be sure to join us online at acc.org or on iTunes or Google Play to subscribe to Practice Made Perfect. We hope you'll join us next time as we discuss more on how practice really does make perfect.